to stand. I was so shocked when that happened here a few minutes ago that it was the second shock I had this morning. I saw Mike Schwartz walk in here. And that was two shocks in a row. That was more than I could take. So I forgot to read the gospel. That's on you too, Mike. Well, the gospel is so long, I had intended to read it. But I'm not going to preach on the whole gospel. I'm going to preach on what's on the cover of the bulletin, which is, let's read it together. You are of more value than many sparrows. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. For thy word is eternal truth. Amen. From the text, this single verse, let's think for a little bit about the word value. You are of more what? Value than many sparrows. I have some valuables. What is the first thing you think of that comes to mind when asked the question, what is the most valuable thing you have? Think on that. Don't say it out loud. Think on that for a moment. Okay, let's try something else. If you were God and were asked the same question, God, what is the most valuable thing you have? What, remember now, you're thinking like God. What would your answer be? Think on that for a moment. Would your most valuable thing be the same as God's most valuable thing? As I ask you to think first for yourself and then as God. There is only one right answer to that question. There are many wrong answers to the question. This morning's sermon is a focus on the right answer. The answer is you. The answer is you. Your personhood is your most valuable possession. Your personhood is God's most valuable possession. It took me most of the week to figure that out. Shame on me. This is my third attempt to put a sermon together for this morning. This was done on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday. I came to church to work Wednesday morning, read it, and said, I don't think so. So I started over. I worked on Wednesday morning on this one. Came to work Thursday morning, looked at it, and said, I don't think so. I emailed number two to my wife, and she said, oh, it was okay, but I'd like to read number one. I never sent her number three. I wrote number three on Thursday, went fishing on Friday, and was afraid to read it on Saturday morning. The most valuable, I'm going to get back to my manuscript. The most valuable thing I have is me. And don't for a minute confuse this with self-centeredness. Jesus said what? I am more valuable than many sparrows. When God made me, he filed the blueprint in his filing cabinet, never to be used again. When God made me, he tweaked the schematic of millions he had created before me and made me an original, one of a kind. He said, there'll never be another one like me. Your blueprint and schematics are also filed away in the same cabinet where mine is. Never to be copied, never to be used again, there'll never be another one like you. God made us and all that exists, Genesis 1:21. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So how do we view ourselves? What do we see? And what do we feel when we look in the mirror? What happens when we probe our hearts? What do we feel? Do we see? Do we feel how God sees us and how God feels about us? For that's how God sees each of us, and that's how God feels about each of us. He feels what? Good. He feels what? Good. I think about this often. I was so lucky. I had parents who made me feel good. Man, I was lucky. My mother had her way of doing it. My dad had his way of doing it. I will share with you one story about how my dad made me feel good in helping me come to realize that I am of more what value than many sparrows. Farm machinery, like commercial fishing boats, are very expensive and need to be cared for properly. During my growing up years, we harvested our corn crops not with $500,000 combines as they do today, but with a farm implement called a corn picker. Like commercial fishing boats, at least I suppose like commercial fishing boats, where some are regarded as better and some are regarded as not as good, so it is with corn pickers. From the age of 10 until I left home for college, my dad had gone through three of them, each time moving up the scale, each one more expensive, until finally he had what he considered to be the Cadillac of corn pickers. It was a pull type rather than a mounted kind, which was a major appeal. During harvest, we'd work from sunup till sundown, and then we'd go back to the homestead, back to the barns, and my dad would have to take care of the cattle and the hogs and the chickens, and he left me with the corn picker. I had to prepare the corn picker for the next day's work. I had to, what do you suppose?
Grease.
I had to grease it. There are lots of moving parts in a corn picker, meaning there are lots of what? Little things called zerks. And it was my job to see that every zerk was covered. Some of those earths were not the easiest to get to. Some of them were quite hidden. You had to know where they were. And remember now, the sun had gone down in the west, and we had one 300-watt, what we call the yard light, and the corn picker was parked underneath it. And I had to go and cover probably 50 to 75 zerks in the twilight. My dad trusted me to do that job. An expensive machine where wear and tear will happen if things are not greased. My dad instilled in me a sense of self-worth by giving me such an important task. My dad had value in me. It may seem simplistic to reminisce like this and to relate this verse to a 13-year-old farm boy greasing a corn picker. But through this father/son experience, self-worth was taught and self-worth was learned. For all of us created, male and female, are of more value and are of more self-worth than many, many sparrows. While at home I was learning self-worth, I was learning a confusing message at church. I heard a phrase often repeated in prayers, "Wretched man that I am." Long before it was made popular by Joan Baez, we were singing it, "Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me." Our confession of sin in the old Norwegian hymn book read, "We are by nature sinful and unclean." We remember that, don't we? And while all this is true, when understood in the context of the gospel, it's not always heard in the context of the gospel of grace. And consequently, both consciously and subconsciously, words like these tend to erode and unravel the goodness that God has given to us when He created us, leaving us to dwell on our sinful nature instead of dwelling on God's offer of grace and forgiveness. I grew up in a community of Norwegians. Classic Norwegian piety, the culture of the Lutheran church in which I was raised, confused the imputed righteousness of Christ, a gift, grace, with self-righteousness, legalism, not what God has done, but what we can do by following the law. Classic Norwegian piety confuses humility with worthlessness, confuses humility with wretchedness. While my mom and dad were helping me gain self-worth, my church was subconsciously teaching me to disown self-worth. Little did I realize what was happening and what the final results would look like. I was engulfed in a view of humanity that espouses self-righteousness, legalism, classic Norwegian piety that they brought over from the old country as a way of dealing with my inner wretchedness. Thus, my early years as a teenager was darkened by a legalism that taught that the less I thought of myself, the more God would think of me. A humble and contrite heart, words straight out of the Bible, at least in my tender years of my commitment to Jesus as my Lord, came to mean that because I was by nature sinful and unclean, my wretchedness in the eyes of God, I was worthless. I was of little or no value. I don't know what our pastor was thinking when he read the words that we see printed on the cover of our bulletin, that we have more value than many sparrows. I don't know what our pastor was thinking when he read Genesis 1:21, and God looked at his creation and said that everything is good. You know the story. You know the Bible. You know Lutheran theology. You know that we were created good, that we were given free will, but that something went awry. Poor choices were made. You know all that story. You feel that story, making this a broken world in which we live. Humankind took control of destiny. The orderly garden became disorderly. And God ultimately said, had to do something about it, that in spite of our conduct, in spite of the mistakes, I will not leave you. I will still walk with you. I will still walk beside you. I will comfort you when you stumble. I will pick you up, and I will even carry you when you fall. That's what grace is all about, God's gift. King David, having fallen miserably, in retrospect, reminisces about a loving and forgiving God, saying in that classic psalm, "I will fear no evil. What? For thou art with me." What? "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." God loves us so much. We are his most valuable possessions, and truly wants us to love ourselves. For until we learn to love ourselves, there's no way we'll ever be able to love anyone else. God has said, we are of great worth. We have more value than many sparrows. God's eye is on the sparrow. And if his eye is on the sparrow, and the raven and the crow and the monsters of the deep that sometimes we hook, a million more times so is his eye upon you and me. Though twisted by our innate nature of original sin, we may be bent, but not broken, because Christ has entered our hearts, and by his gift of grace through faith, we can rightly celebrate our self-worth, proclaiming that not only has God made us, but that he has made each one of us the best of the best. You and I are of more value than a zillion sparrows. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your grace has overcome what we sometimes let have too big of a place in our lives, that we can't do this and that we aren't able to do this and that we have little worth. God, it is your grace that propels us, that fills our hearts, that says to each one of us, though you have sinned, I have forgiven you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this great gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and let us together confess our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.